does a beautiful job, but the Bible says, praise the Lord, O my soul, and everything that is in me, praise his holy name. Can you say that? Praise the Lord, O my soul, and everything that is in me, praise his holy name. Now, I'm going to ask, I call him Sir John. Sir John, would you come forward? Yeah. I would like you to say, I know you're familiar with those words. Can you say those words in another language that we may hear it? Praise the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, praise his holy name.
Ngomeni tarvin, O nonkona. And
all that is within me.
Kamwa nanamo na zongamo. Ngome ni tariligamo.
Praise his holy name.
Ngome nemo ninga naruya zaratiye.
Which one was that?
That was in Damal, okay. Papuan language.
Okay, what else do you know? What other language?
I speak Maninka in West Africa, okay. And I speak Indonesian.
Okay, pick one.
Let's take Indonesian.
Okay. Praise the Lord, O my soul.
Tuhan, saya memuji namamu, oh yang ada di dalam saya.
And all that is within me.
Dan semua yang ada di dalam saya.
Praise his holy name.
Saya memuji namamu, dan namamu.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. How about my Nigerian friend? Can you say it in your language?
Gbogbo ohun to nbe ninu mi.
Praise the Lord, O my soul.
Everything that is within me.
Yes, everything that is in me.
Gbogbo ohun to nbe ninu mi.
Praise his holy name.
Iye Oluwa. Iye oruko mimo re.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you so much. Anybody else have any other languages? Any Spanish people? No, I'm saying Spanish. Oh, I saw movement, but you almost got the mic. She's like, no. Okay, praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Is that beautiful? Is his presence real? Is he here with us today? Well, we praise his holy name with all that is within us, no matter what the circumstances. Amen? Okay, well, I needed that. Thank you so much. Oh, thank you. So today I want to talk to you about what to do in the day of trouble. Anybody need to hear that? Yeah, I think we are, aren't we? I think we are there. And so, how many of you know that God understands all things? And he knows what's going on around us at all times. And he has all of the answers in every situation. Don't we serve a good God? And so, there are times when we have to recognize that there is something going on. I mean, we don't live in a bubble. I know we try to. And because we live in the United States, we kind of have a different kind of bubble that we are used to. But the reality is that we cannot hide from reality. There are things that we're going to have to face. There's things that we have to deal with. And that can be on a worldwide scale, which we're seeing right now. But it also means it comes on an individual scale. You have to be real with yourself about what you're dealing with as well as what the world is dealing with. Amen? So there's a day of trouble, and if you haven't had a day of trouble, well, come see me afterwards because I'd like you to lay hands on me. So there's always going to be a day where you have to face trouble, and you've got to know how to do it. But everybody say, thank God for his word. All right. So I'm going to talk to you. I wasn't going to do this first, but I'm going to now. And then we're going to go from Gideon to David. How do you like that? Okay, so I'm going to Judges 6. Sorry, people in the back. I didn't warn you. So here's what's going on. The Midians did evil in the sight of the Lord. And so they had enemies that came against the Israelites. And they came and they were impoverished. They didn't have anything left. It was just like in the Old Testament, God dealt with his people natural to natural. In the New Testament, thank you, Jesus, you deal with us spiritual to spiritual. But it says in verse 6 that Israel was greatly impoverished because of the Midianites, and the children of Israel cried unto the Lord. How many of you know we need to keep crying unto the Lord? First steps, cry to the Lord. And it came to pass when the children of Israel cried unto the Lord because of the Midianites, that the Lord sent a prophet unto the children of Israel. He doesn't even name this prophet, because you don't have to be named, you just have to obey. Amen? And he said unto them, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I brought you up from Egypt. I brought you up. Like, remember what I've already done. In the day of trouble, you better remember what he's already done. I brought you out of the house of bondage. And I delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians, the tormentors, the oppressors, the ones that jailed them and took advantage of them. And out of the hand of all those that oppress you. And I drove them out before you, and I gave you their land. How many times has anybody in here ever had God deliver you out of the hand of your enemy? Raise your hand. All righty then. Okay, so remember what he's done. And he said, I am the Lord your God. Fear not the gods of the Amorites, in whose land you dwell, but you have not obeyed my voice. Now he's identifying for them why they're in the condition that they're in. And he's saying, don't fear them. He's still giving them hope. But he's saying, this is what the problem is. You didn't obey me. Now, if the Lord is speaking to anything in these days, he is trying to get the attention of the world and the attention of us as his church, and let us know where we haven't obeyed him. Because in disobedience, you open up the door to the enemy's tactics, and then you wonder what is going on around you. And so many times what is going on around you is that you haven't fully obeyed the Lord in something. And so in their case, all of the Israelites were in disobedience. And this is why they have the enemy pressing in. How many of you know there's still hope? Because we have something we can do in the day of trouble. Amen. You're allowed to say amen anytime. And there was an angel of the Lord, and he sat under an oak that was in Ophrah, and that belonged to, never mind. He sat there, read it, okay? And his son Gideon threshed wheat by the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, what did he say unto him? The Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor. You know, one of the things we're learning is keys to the kingdom, and we keep seeing this over and over. No matter what I preach, it's almost always in there, is that one of the keys to the kingdom is he is with you. Say, he is with me. Yeah, it's the key to the kingdom. Okay, and so Gideon has forgotten who he is and who he belongs to, and he's even forgotten that God is with him. And so he's hiding in a wine press, which is what we try to do when things get overwhelming. We just want to go and isolate. Did you ever do that? You just go because you really want to just have a pity party. And then you also want to hide from the enemy as though there's a place to hide from the enemy, when in reality, sometimes you are the enemy. And so you can't even hide from yourself. Oh, yes, I saw that high five. And the angel said, the Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor. What? Now here he is in what my mother would call the mollygrubs. Isn't that a weird word? And where did that come from? I have to look that up now. And so here he is, feeling sorry for himself, trying to hide from what all the enemy has made himself to look so big against him. And he's down there. And so but the angel of the Lord shows up and he says just the opposite. He calls him a mighty man of valor. Aren't you glad? I said to the Lord this morning, I said, Lord, I'm really sorry about that. Would you forgive me? And he said, yes, 2,000 years ago. See, we don't realize the faithfulness of God and his forgiveness, because before we can even utter the need for us to forgive, for us to confess to the Lord and ask him to forgive us, he's already forgiven us. He already took it on the cross. He is not mad at you. In fact, his destination for you is still intact. Okay, let me just say that again. I don't care what you've done. I don't care what your trial is. I don't care how horrible you see yourself. God still sees you in his DNA, protected destiny for you. And he's still calling you by names that you have a hard time to believe. He still believes in you. Amen. Even when you don't believe in him. Okay, well, that was good. All right. So, mighty man of valor. Okay. And so, Gideon answers like we answer. Many times, not always, many times. Well, okay, Lord, if the Lord is with us, then why is all of this come against us? Why has it befallen us? Where are all the wondrous works? Where are all the wondrous works of our fathers? Isn't he a brat? they told us, saying, did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord has forsaken us and given us into the hand of Midian. When your circumstances look like there is no hope, our tendency is to agree with them. That's the natural man. And so he's not remembering what the Lord has done. He's saying, so what if he did it? Where are you now? He's like, but I need you in this situation. Where are you? And so he's actually accusing God of not being there for them. And the Lord turned to him and didn't even say, you poor, ridiculous little man. You know, you need to get your act together. No, he doesn't even do that. You know why? He's already looked at what he knows he's going to do, and he's already seen him in the victory. All right? So the Lord just turns to him and he goes, go in this might of yours. He's probably going, what might? I've got no might. And you shall save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have I not sent you? Now, when it comes down to it, here is the real deal. You can't change God's mind about who he thinks you are or what you're supposed to accomplish. You can't change his mind. Now, you can disobey him, but you can't change his mind about what he's called you to do. So now, here is God, and okay, we read this like it's a story, but in reality, you got to understand, this is really the Son of God showing up. They call him an angel, but if you look, never mind. It's Jesus showing up. I won't go into all of that. It's Jesus showing up in front of Gideon, and he is saying something to him, and it's not words. See, you have to get past the natural. When God speaks, it isn't that he's talking to you like I talk to Susan, and Susan's hearing my voice. No, when he speaks, it's like voices of many waters. He thunders. There is something that happens on the inside of you. He is standing in front of Gideon, and he's not just going, okay, you know, go in your might. No, he's saying, go in this might of yours, and you shall save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have I, the great I am, have I not sent you? You see, we put God in these little boxes, and God is God. And when he speaks, he releases his life and his abilities into you so that you can operate in a higher way than you ever considered. And so he's speaking the truth into Gideon, and Gideon, he's getting it. People wonder about people getting slain in the spirit. That's what Christians call when the presence of God gets so strong, you can't stand up anymore. That's a Christianese statement. Nevertheless, it happens all throughout the Bible. Nevertheless, it's a reality that these physical bodies cannot sometimes stand in the presence of an almighty God. Yeah, I'll say that. So when I was gone this last week, I was in Arizona. I knew that there was a person there that was part of my assignment. And so I was waiting for, do you know that there are people around you that are part of your assignment? Are you asking him to show you who they are? So I'm waiting for the open door. And so finally, I come back from the meeting and I'm a little tired, but she's there. And so I sat down and talked to her for about an hour and a half. And here's what I discovered. Here I think I'm going to impart these great things that I know to this girl. And then God took me to school. So now she's saying, you know, when I was young and I was a senior in high school, that's when I get acne. That's when I am embarrassed. You know, everybody else has already gone through it. Their face still looks good. But no, I have to wait till I'm a senior. And then they gave me tetracycline 500 twice a day for 2 years, which totally destroyed her immune system. So she is weak, and she has all kinds of things showing up in her body, and she doesn't know what to do, and she hides by, no, she's not hiding, she's trying to get a remedy by being with something that she's comfortable with, which ends up being horse riding. So she gets on this horse, and the horse takes her up to the top of a mountain. And it's a big horse. It's the favorite horse of the owner. And so she's up there, and she looks up into the sky, and suddenly she goes, wow. So she lays back on the horse saddle, and she puts her feet up on his mane. And she said, I don't know how to explain this, but it was like God's face came right in front of me, and I lost all, strength. And I was just lay there, and something happened on the inside of my heart. And I'm like, okay. And she goes, and you know, I didn't know how to respond to that, but it took a while before I could move anymore. And then she said, and I've had that happen a couple other times. She goes, I was so hungry to know more. I really want to know God more. And so I went to this person, and they were teaching me these things, but they were kind of a chant. And she goes, and I didn't know what they were saying. So I just decided, I'm going to put my own words here. I'm not going to chant this. I'm just going to get along with God. So I started putting my foundational truths out of my mouth. So I kept calling on the Father God and calling on Jesus Christ. And I said, well, okay, let me, being the pastor that I am, I said, well, has anybody shared the plan of salvation with you? Like, do you know what Romans 3:23 says, that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God? Do you know that, you know, the Romans road, basically? And that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus will hear you, he'll forgive you and cleanse you from all your unrighteousness. And she goes, well, no, nobody ever taught me that, but I said, well, do you know that Jesus lives on the inside of you and that he's forgiving you? And she goes, well, yes, I do. And I went, me and my religious self thinks I need to lead her down the road. But what she really needed was a encounter with God with her heart open. And I said, well, how do you know that you're truly saved then? And she goes, because he doesn't live out here somewhere. He's living in here, and I talk to him all the time. I go, well, shut my mouth. You know, isn't that what we want? And what God was showing me is that we think there's only certain ways to get to God. Now, I'm not saying don't go chant, don't go listen to some guru. Don't do that. We know better than that. But for someone who doesn't know better than that, for someone who's just a seeker of truth, the truth came and set her free even before she knew how to wrap her words around it like a Christian. But she asked God, she asked Jesus, he's in her heart and in her life, and she's following him. Isn't that what we want? So when God is after you, even if you're on top of a horse slain in the spirit, and you don't know what to call it, you're having an environment where God grabs a hold of you and uses you as a child of God. Amen? And so Gideon is like this person that doesn't have any belief in the fact that he has value. And yet God calls him the mighty man of valor. And so he's saying, you go in the power of what I've called you to do. And so even after he's crabbing to the Lord, and he said, have I not sent thee? And he said unto him, oh, my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? Now he's going to tell him all the reasons why he can't. When God tells you his design and his purpose for you, you can always tell him all the reasons why, pick somebody else. Wherewith shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor, and I am the least in my father's house. And the Lord said unto him, never mind all that. Forget all that. Surely I will be with you, and you will smite the Midians as what? One man. Oh, there's more coming. You see, when God calls us, he doesn't just call us. He calls us. He calls you, but he always has others that will come alongside of you to win the battle against the enemy. And so God is working a work in the body of Christ right now. He is working a work inside of so many people. I cannot tell you, as much as we are fighting and as much as we see and as much as we hear and as much as we're all contending for the people that are in Ukraine and trying to get out and all of the plight that we see, and this is very close to my heart, as you know, since my other grandson is there with his wife and child, and we are fighting and battling for them. But we have to understand there is the body of Christ that is over there helping and rescuing, and there's so many people. Yesterday I put out a cry to everybody I know. Like, what can you do to help Sergey? What can you do to help him and his family? And I mean, I am telling you, we have faithful connections. We have people that are like, well, we got people that are doing it over here. We got people that are in Lviv. We've got people that are on the road. We've got people that will take them into Poland. We've got people that will take them into Denmark. We have people that will take, and I kept getting, I have a connection. 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 I was trying to keep up with all the connections. And I'm just trying to figure out what exactly does Sergey want? Because then we can hook them up, right? And so Sergey is just, he is just trying to figure out all of the things that needs to be done, and he's trying to protect his wife and his child. And so he is a very strategic thinker. So he's waiting, he was waiting until he knew that they weren't safe where they were before he was going to send them out. They are being sent out today. We're going to be praying about that, but they are being sent out. And so they're going to a place where they already have a family waiting for him that he knows, so he knows they're going to be safe. We have to just pray the Lord protects them until they get there. And then Sergey, he will do whatever he needs to do, but he needs to be safe in Jesus' name. And all these other people that we're praying for. So when there looks like there is nobody, you find out that there's somebodies that are called to be alongside of you, to protect you, and to be with you in battle. Okay. Amen. Okay. So he says, and he said to him, if now I have found grace in your sight, show me a sign that you are talking to me. In the Amplified, it says, do not leave here, I pray, until I return to you and bring my offering. Immediately upon Gideon understanding that God has a call on him, he responds back and says, listen, I want to bring you an offering. I don't think you get that. Immediately, upon faith arising in his heart, Gideon does what we should do. Gideon goes, don't leave until I bring you something. Today, we brought an offering of praise and gratitude. There is something that we need to respond to. When God is releasing something to us, when he is pulling us up by the bootstraps, when he's getting us out of a dungeon, when he's speaking life into us, there's a response that we as his people need to have. And that response is always, what can I do for you? What can I give to you? And so he says, stay here and let me bring you an offering. And so he goes and he gets a kid, and he has unleavened cakes and flour and meat, and he brings it all, and he sends it down, sits down under the oak tree, and he presents it before the angel of the Lord. And the angel says, you know, here's what you do with it. Take the meat, pour the broth. And then the angel of the Lord reached out the tip of his staff that was in his hand, and he touched the meat and the cakes, and up from the rock came a fire and consumed it. Because when you offer up an offering to God, he will come in his fire and he will consume it. Okay. When then Gideon perceived that he was the angel of the Lord, he was like, oh boy, I am standing right in front of God. He says, alas, O Lord God, for now I have seen the angel of the Lord face to face. He's like, no man will see God and live. I'm going to die now. I'm going to die right now. And the Lord said to him, peace be to you. Do not fear, you shall not die. Now, listen, this is what you need to hold on to. When you are in a troubled time, when you're in a troubled season, when you have a problem going on all around you, the Lord is always saying this, you shall live and not die. Amen. And if God says you are going to live and not die, how many of you believe he's telling you the truth? Okay. And so he says, and Gideon has to hold this in his heart. How many times did he have to replay this, okay? You will live and not die. So then Gideon built an altar there to the Lord. He did it again. He's like, woo, I got to give you something again. I'm going to live and not die here. What can I offer you? And he called it the Lord is peace. The Lord is peace, of course we know that is shalom, but here's what it means. It means, in this instance, I'll be waiting to hear you. It also means harmony, completeness, and prosperity. I'll be waiting to hear you. Gideon now has positioned himself before God, before what he knows is this face-to-face thing, and he's saying, I'll be waiting to hear you. This is what you need to do. This is what we need to do. We, no matter what the trouble is, we need to trouble the trouble by getting ourselves in a place where we respond to the voice of God, because God isn't just going to come to talk to you. God is always talking to you. God is always speaking. It's just whether or not we're tuned into his channel. And so when we tune into his channel and he has something to say, we need to position ourselves in a place of peace, and we need to say, I'll be waiting for your voice. Because he's not done telling you what to do. He's going to instruct you. Amen? Okay, so that night the Lord said to Gideon, take your father's bull, the second bull, 7 years old, and pull down the altar of Baal that your father has, and cut down the Asherah, the symbol of the goddess Asherah, which I taught about that, and I won't go into that now. But it's disgusting, and it needed to be pulled down. And build an altar to the Lord your God on top of this stronghold. It was a stronghold. Do you know what a stronghold is? Something that takes a stronghold over you or over a region. It's a stronghold. It's where demonic forces have built up their home. They have taken place. They have taken territory. And it's up to us to tear down the territory. And so God's telling him, you've got to first go in and take down the strongholds of the enemy. You've got to start. Until you destroy it, you don't have a foundation to build upon. Now, let me just insert this right here. In this world, we are seeing the destruction of Satan, and he's trying to destroy not one nation, but many nations. How many of you understand that Ukraine doesn't look like it did? How many of you understand that neither does Russia? Neither does America at this moment. Neither does all of those subsidiary places where Satan is just like, and he is bringing this destruction. But we have to understand, we are the people that have to go in and pull down the strongholds where the enemy has risen up and made himself a place to be worshiped. And so where people are worshiping another person besides Jesus Christ, where they're worshiping gold, where they're worshiping oil, where there's worship of any other thing that they are putting their confidence in, it needs to be brought down. And so God, what if God is just going around and he's going, oh, okay, let's uncover that, 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 let's uncover that. Now, then he goes to us and he goes, now you see it, church of the living God, where's my kingdom belong? And who's going to bring his kingdom? And so it's a serious time. Now you ready for the good news? I knew somebody would. Ooh. Okay, so he is strong enough. I mean, listen, you know how I always tell you, do it afraid? Well, Gideon sneaks up at night, but he still gets rid of it. He pulls down the ash pole and everything, but it says he's afraid. So he did it afraid. And so the next day they go and they find the idol and they're all on the floor and the people are mad and they're trying to find out who did it. And so they go to his father and they go, Gideon did it. And the father goes, well, okay, you judge him. Chicken father. And so, because he had it in his own house. What? Pull it down. Doesn't matter if it was in your father's house. It doesn't need to remain in your father's house. Kill that generational thing and move forward. Okay. And so they said, who has done it? Gideon, son of Joash. Then the city commanded his dad, go take care of it. And Joash said, will you contend for Baal or will you save him? Who will contend for Baal? Let him be put to death before the morning. If Baal is a god, let him contend for himself. So now the dad is like, let Baal take care of Gideon. So he's literally saying, let that god take care of my son. Which we know that they can't come, because what did God already say to Gideon? You will not die. Right. So the Spirit of the Lord, verse 34, clothed Gideon with himself. Oh, you know, God's like, come here, Gideon. In case you were worried, and he wrapped him in his glory. Now, if you're wrapped in God's glory, they can't kill you. And so he took possession of him. It literally says God took possession of Gideon. Do you know whether God has taken possession of you or not? Because he will if you let him. It wasn't because Gideon had done everything right. We already saw that. It isn't because he's been such a valiant warrior yet. It was because God had called him and saved his mantle for him. And now he's wrapped him in his arms and released this anointing on his life. And he, it says that the Spirit of the Lord clothed Gideon with himself and took possession of him. And he blew a trumpet, and the clan of Ebezer was gathered to him. And so then he sent messengers into Manasseh, and they were called to him, and to Asher, and to Zebulun, and Naphtali, and they all came to meet him, because God was calling together the people that were going to help him. He called them. He called them. He clothed him. He gave him. He blew the trumpet. Gideon blew the trumpet. As soon as he heard the Lord, he blew the trumpet. He started gathering the tribes. When you recognize that there is a stronghold somewhere in a nation, somewhere in your life, somewhere in your neighbor's life, somewhere, you better get with God until he shows up. And when he shows up, there is to be a response. You give thanks to him. You offer him something. And then when he speaks to you, you grab a hold of the trumpet that is necessary, and you take the voice that is the voice of many waters, and you blow the trumpet, and you call forth the other people that are supposed to join you in the fight. And that's why intercessors all over the world are praying right now. Because God still has a people that will not lay down. What is your situation? Somebody is called to meet you in your situation. It doesn't matter if you feel isolated or not. God has not isolated you. You've isolated yourself. There is many people in the body of Christ that are willing to help you if you just cry out for help. But sometimes your pride has to bow its knee and say, I need help. Sometimes you need to blow a trumpet. And Gideon, verse 36, said, if you will deliver Israel by my hand, as you have said. Gideon needs props. And this is the fleece story. Lays the wool fleece, he lays it on the ground. He goes, okay, I'm going to leave it overnight. I want it to be dry on the ground. And then I'm going to know you're going to deliver. And then God does it, and he goes, wait a minute. I'm going to put it out again. Just make sure. And so he goes, I'm going to lay it out again, and then I'm going to see if it gets wet. If it stays wet, then I'm going to know you're going to deliver me. Now, we read that, and we go, Gideon, come on now. He already wrapped his cloth around you. And yeah, here we are, needing props. We still need props, right? We still need props. And so before we go judging Gideon, we need to look at our in the mirror, see if we're still looking for props. But here's the deal. We have Jesus. And so what do we do in the day of trouble? What do we do in the day of trouble? Okay, so the rest of the story is Gideon goes to war. He has 30,000 people. God gets it down to 300 men against an army that is tens of thousands, and he still wins because God is with him. Amen? Now, what do we do? What do we do in the day of trouble? We understand that we are in a war, and you've heard this. Psalms 3:1 says, Lord, how they have increased who troubled me. Many are they that rise up against me. Listen, this is David now. And David is stating the facts here. He's not bellyaching. He's saying, I got a bunch of trouble right here. And it's just not one, but it's many that have rose up against me. And so he's saying, hey, God, do you have any idea how many people are against me right now? Did anybody ever feel that way? Yeah, I thought so. And so he has some shaking going on. And verse 2 says, many are they who say of me, there is no help for him and God. He's going, they're like not only railing on me, they're railing on you. They're saying that you're not true to your word, God. Now, David is trying to stabilize his own self, right? So he hears all the hopelessness that is being spoken all around him and the plots that are trying to destroy him. And so he's thinking about it. And you know, the next word in the Bible is Selah, which means think about that, like ponder that. And so David is writing this and then he's going, Selah. Many are those that rise up against me. Many. He's just going, it's real. How many of you know that there's a real fight going on? There's a real war going on. And so he's not making it up. But David knew that when he faced unbelievable circumstances and betrayal, he had to respond correctly. Now you can stop at verse 1 and 2. They're everywhere. They're all against me. What am I going to do, Lord? David's thinking about this. There's so many. What am I going to do? What am I going to do, Lord? What am I going to do? And he's thinking about it. Selah, Selah, Selah. And then he is thinking about what the answer is. But you, O Lord, are a shield for me. You're my glory, and you are the one who lifts up my head. Now imagine David is realizing he's been betrayed. He's realizing that there's people against him. He's like thinking about it. He's talking to God about it. But then he goes, oh, yeah, but let me think about you instead. Oh, You, O Lord, are my shield. You're the one who lifts my head. Nobody else can do that. God is our shield. He's our protector. He's the one that grabs a hold of our head when we're so discouraged we can't lift it up on our own. We keep looking for somebody else to fix it. Nobody else will fix this. It's your relationship with God, the Father. And when he comes, he lifts your head up. He's like, and once you've had him do it, you could, how many of you have had God lift your head up when you didn't have any strength to lift it up on your own? And once he's done that for you, you go back to that moment and you go, wait a minute, hold up, Satan. I have a God who is my shield, and he is the one who lifts my head up. That means I'm not going to have a pity party. That means I'm not going to lose. It means I'm going to put my confidence in the one who is not only protecting me, but the one that is lifting my head up to him again and saying, you can win. You have the victory. And so, verse 4, he says, I cried to the Lord with my voice, and he heard me in his holy hill. God is hearing your cries. That's the kind of God we serve. He's a personal God. He cares about you. He cares about the circumstances. We don't serve a God that ignores the cries of his people. We serve a God who hears our cries. And he hears us from a holy hill. A perfect hill, a glorious place where he operates. And I believe that David is speaking to his current circumstances and his past experiences with God. He's going, this might be what it is, but I already know who's with me. I already know how the future goes. And so he is able to move past his trauma. And he even got some sleep that night. You know. That's a miracle. Verse 5, I lay down and slept. I lay down, and he was so asleep that he said, I awoke for the Lord sustained me, because he could have just stayed sleeping. Anybody ever want to escape by sleep? But he has a relationship with God, and he knows he will not fail him. And so now he rises up, and it's like that song, you know, they didn't know what I was teaching today, but then Danielle went into that. I don't even know if that was planned. No. And so, the lion song. So he says, because of his relationship, because he doesn't, he says, I will not be, verse 6, Psalms 3, 6. I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people who have set themselves against me all around. He didn't deny the circumstances. He sees them by the thousands. He just says, I won't be afraid of them. They've set themselves all around me, but I don't have to be afraid because I'm not counting on me alone. So now he begins to make the declaration. I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people. They've set themselves all around me. Arise, O Lord. O save, O my God. Save me. He's making this declaration. He's crying upon the Lord. For you have struck. Now he's beginning to go, okay, you've already done it. You struck all my enemies on the cheekbone. You have broken the teeth of the ungodly. He's either thinking of what God has already done, or he's thinking about what he's about ready to do. And now he's speaking in faith. Verse 8, salvation belongs to the Lord. Your blessing is upon your people. You see, he didn't give up. He understood what he had to do. And that's where we are, church. Things might not look the way that they should or the way they've looked in the past, or things may not be easy and you're not on easy street. You're not, however I was where I was in Arizona, there was a place called Easy Street. And I'm like, I'm going to stand here a while. I'm going to get this impartation. And then it had a yield sign in front of it. I go, yield to Easy Street. Okay, I'll do that. And that's what we have to do. We have to say, salvation is my, it belongs to my God. And when I feel like everything else is going to fail me, he won't, because he's already blessed me. Because he's already blessed his people wherever they are. Wherever they are, and no matter what the trouble is, they know that God is bigger. And that is who we need to know. That is how we live. This is how we get through things. This is how we survive and thrive. So many people have just decided to be in survival zone. That is not pleasing to the Lord. He did not call you to survive. Because if you're surviving, you're just selfish. You just got yourself surviving, and as long as you make it, then you're okay. But God wants you to thrive and be productive, and that's what he's called us all to do. Amen? So, okay, wow. We are covenant people. In our word this year, he said, I'm escalating my church's influence against the plots and the schemes of the enemy. You are the voices that will bring about the needed change in many areas. Who? The church. Are you part of the church? The world is a different place, but do not think it's strange. See it as an opportunity. That is what God told us this year. And so when we know that there are people that are under attack and that there is defense that is needed for those that are under attack, we go to the Word. We go to the Word and we go to his Word. He spoke it over us and he spoke it over us. Do you understand? And so in Psalms 10, verse 16, it says, the Lord is king forever and ever, and the nations will perish from his land. If we put our foot on anything, the Lord says he's given it to us. So if we put our foot on a nation, if we do it even in the spirit, has he given it to us? Mm-hmm. Verse 17, oh, hear, O Lord, the desire of the afflicted. You encourage them. You listen to their cry. You're defending the fatherless and the oppressed in order that man who is of the earth may terrify no more. I'm just going to pray that out. Lord, you are king forever and ever. And Lord, where we put our feet in the spirit right now in Ukraine, Lord, we pray that you hear and you respond to the desire of the afflicted. That you go into that place and you encourage them, Lord, that you listen to their cry. You defend the fatherless and the oppressed, Lord, and that man who is of the earth that is coming after and destroying, that the terror will stop in Jesus' name. Now, you can only do that properly if you stay out of the spirit of anger. And that's the hard part, because we want to blame a man. And we all know right now we're talking about Putin. But listen, do we really think Putin is this strong? He you know how, well, I won't say that because then okay. Never mind, I'm behaving myself. We can't respond out of anger. Psalms 4:3 says, know that the Lord has set apart the godly for himself. The Lord will hear when I call to him. In your anger, do not sin. In your anger, do not sin. You can be mad about the situation. You can rise up. And you can get aggressive against the enemy, but you cannot be angry at a person. You have to get angry at principalities, powers, rulers of darkness, and wickedness in high places. See, I do know that scripture. And so God has set the godly apart from himself. We are set apart. We are his. We align with him on purpose. And here's how we do it. Psalms 19:14. Let the words of my mouth, the words of my mouth, and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. That means there's a decision you have to make, and this is the hardest decision of all. Because the battle is in your mind, and the release is from your mouth. One time the Lord said to me, and it's true, because I promise you I've lived this so many times. Listen to what your mouth says, and it will give away what's in your heart. Well, it is scriptural, yes. And so if you listen to yourself, you'll find out what you really believe. You'll find out what you're really putting confidence in. You see, you have to say, I'm going to let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable to God. That means that there's always a thing that you're doing. You're always going, is that my thought? Is that a God thought? Is that a Satan thought? And then you have to be careful who you agree with. And you have to take charge of this. And you have to put your mouth in agreement with our God. He is the Redeemer. We are not the Redeemer, but we have him on our side. Amen? Okay, so. How long is it? 24. We can do this. Okay, so I'm going to end with this. I was listening to worship, and in the middle of worship, somebody comes up to the mic and they begin to speak the Psalm 27, but he has a lot to say about it. And I just thought, this is going to set us in place today, and we may have to get involved ourselves. But I want to, before I play that, I want to say this. If you personally are in a day of trouble, bow your heads a minute. I don't want anybody being put on the spot. If you're in a day of trouble and you know it, it could be you have trouble in your soul, that you have things going on all around you and your soul is acting up. You just can't get your thoughts under control. You can't get your desires under control. You know your thoughts are made up of your mind, your will, your emotions, your past. And you're in a day of trouble. Then you're in a day of trouble. And you need to just recognize where you are. And then you might be in a day of trouble because you thought you believed God for something and he didn't seemingly come through for you. But you know God's not done yet. And so if you're in a day of trouble because you have some unbelief, because you've lost your faith to a certain degree, then you're in a day of trouble. Or you could have sin in your life. Let's be real. We live in this world and sin is always an opportunity. Sin comes in different forms. And you know what kind of form it comes into you? The kind you like. Sin will present itself to you in the one that you really want to agree with. And you're in a day of trouble. But the good news is that we know how to get out of the day of trouble. We call upon him and he hears the cries of his people. And he forgives us 2,000 years ago when we call upon his name. And so if you're in any of those categories, I want you to just lift your hand so I can pray for you. I'm not going to thank you for that. Thank you for that honesty. Thank you for that honesty. Thank you for that honesty before the Lord. So Lord, you see the day of trouble. But also, Lord, you love and you see what you've called them to do. And so today I'm asking God, would you go and wrap your arms around them, put your garment around them and protect them, Lord. Speak the truth into them again that they are your children. That you have all that they have need of, that you are their warrior, their protector, their guide, their God, the one they can trust, the one that will never leave them or fail them. Minister to them right now, Holy Spirit. You are in this place. There's a yielding that just happens when you put your sight on God. Remember what he's done for you in the past. Trust him with your present. And trust him with the ability to bring you into your future. He's not mad at you. He loves you. His promises are yes and amen, and forever and ever they are yours. And so we don't need anything but Jesus. In this video, they were singing, "Give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. I don't need anything else. I just need Jesus." And that is the truth. All you need is more of Jesus. And he will not only take care of your situation, he will take care of the situations and circumstances that are affecting you. Okay, let's go ahead and play that.
Hey, check this out. "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked came against me to devour my flesh, my enemies and my foes, they stumbled and fell. Though an army may be encamped around me, my heart shall not fear. The war rise up against me. In this I will be confident, that one thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, that I would behold the beauty of the Lord and inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret place of his tabernacle, he shall hide me. He shall set me high upon a rock." In this opening text, David talks about the wicked coming to devour him. Armies encamping against him. War rising up against him. And listen, when his heart was tempted with the day of trouble, when his heart started to feel the temptation to fear, he stepped into this reality. Oh, no, 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 no. Give me Jesus. Oh, no, 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 no. One thing have I desired. One thing. One thing. That he is my one thing. I think about Mary in Luke 7 when she stumbled into the pastor's meeting and she stumbled past all of them. And I just picture in Mary's mind thinking, "I've tried this. I've tried that. I wasn't satisfied here. I wasn't delivered there. I was still in need with this thing. But oh, when I met Jesus." And she's stumbling in, and in the midst of persecution, in the midst of accusation, in the midst of all the things, I feel like she too was dealing with the temptation for her heart to fear, yet.
A whisper away, just a whisper of your heart. He's already got forgiveness waiting for you, but he does say that you have to confess with your mouth your sin. So just tell him what it is. It's not like he doesn't already know it. He just wants you to be aware of it and to be, offer it to him. And this has to be a sincere thing. It can be the smallest thing or the biggest thing. Do you know that sin is just sin to God? He doesn't care if you killed somebody or if you lied. They're both equal to him. He doesn't care if you gossiped. Still equal with him. He just wants to restore you right now. He's here to restore you. So, Lord, we open up our hearts to you right now, Lord. And we know you are the restorer. And, Lord, we don't want anything between us and you. So I take this thing, whatever it is, and I just release it before you, God. I don't want to sin anymore. I don't want to be in trouble. And I'm in the day of trouble. And I want to trust you, Lord. So I'm giving it to you. You said you're faithful and just to forgive me of my sin and to cleanse me right now of that unrighteousness. And so I receive it. I receive your cleansing. I recognize that all I need is you. All I need is you. Maybe it's just, that's personal. That's your personal restoration to God. Satan comes and he tries to take you out in a way. God, but you can get restored in a whisper. And then there's circumstances. And in the day of trouble, there's many circumstances, Lord. And so we come and we come with those circumstances, Lord. We can't do anything but put our trust in you. But we can put our trust in you. Lord, you said that there would be wars and rumors of wars, and Lord, we're definitely at war. We are definitely at war, but Lord, you have redeemed us, and you've called us by your name. We belong to you, Lord, and in the day of trouble, we call upon you. We are asking that you put an end to the destruction, Lord, and how it affects each one of us, Lord. We're asking that you send angel armies to fight, Lord. Gideon had 300 natural bodies, but he had lots of warring angels. Lord, I don't care if it looks few. Those that are with us are much greater than those that are against us. And so we look, Lord, unto the heavens where comes our help. That's where our help comes from. You are our Savior. You are the rescuer. You are the lifter of our heads. Oh, Lord, I break off all of the torment in Jesus' name. Lord, the torture of the circumstances, Lord, I ask for your peace. I ask for your shalom. Oh, Jesus. We send your name and all that it stands for into the nations, into Russia as well, Lord. We pray for Russia. We pray for those that are, Lord, you loved Saul as Saul. You said you're bringing forth Paul's and you're bringing forth Gideon's, God. You're bringing forth Joseph's. You're bringing forth David's, Lord. Let them arise and hear the voice that is calling to them now. Awakening, Lord. Many Russians love many Ukrainians. Many Ukrainians love many Russians. Lord, I pray that there would be a coming together, Lord, an awakening to the truth that they are not fighting each other. Lord, I pray that those that are still fighting in the natural, in their, Lord, protection over them all, Lord, I pray that this comes to an end. And Lord, I pray it comes to the ending here also. Lord, I pray you could just just, we give you our tongue, Lord. We don't want to say what isn't pleasing in your sight. Lord, please forgive us for rotten words. Let them drop to the ground and become nothing. Lord, let us plant instead the seed of faith that you are our God, you are our Savior, you are our rescuer, you are almighty, you are all powerful, you are all knowing, you are the beginning, you are the end, you will have the final say. And we put our confidence not in man, but in you. Lord, forgive us of our unbelief. And let us offer to you gratefulness and praise. And put you back in the place you belong as Lord and King. And Lord, we pray your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. That peace that's in this room right now settles into our soul. That beautiful presence.